What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Spark Talk. And today, we are continuing our coverage of the 2023 NFL Draft. And the day has finally come where we can talk about day one of the NFL Draft and what a first round it was. It was hyped up to be the craziness, the out of nowhere picks, the out of nowhere trades. It was really fun to watch. It was one of the, I think, the more exciting first rounds I've saw in a long time. It was really engaging. It was really fun to watch, and it was really good entertainment. I'll say that it was really good entertainment, and I'm really excited to see how round two, how round three goes tomorrow, or when y'all listening to it, the day of. On Friday, and I'm just excited to see how this draft plays out and all that. And as a Bears fan, I'm really happy with the player that we got, and I'll get to him a little bit later. But kind of give you the format of how I'm going to do this breakdown a little bit. I'll just start off at the top, and then I'll just work my way down to the end of round one and give my thoughts on the players and the teams and what I thought of the pick and what I thought of like certain trades and how they traded up and what they ended up doing. And also at the end, I'll give my thoughts on some of the players that weren't taken in the first round, aka Will Levis and Joey Porter Jr. and a couple of other guys that I thought were first round guys but just didn't end or just did not end up getting taken in the first round. So I'll give my thoughts on them when I end up going through it and get past Kansas City's pick. But without further ado, let's start with Carolina picking first overall for the first time since they drafted Cam Newton back in 2011, I think it was. Yeah, 20 or 2010. Oh, yeah, 2011. Yeah, 2011, because Andrew Luck got drafted in 12 when I was in sixth grade. So yeah, that puts it, yeah, so 2011 is when Cam Newton got drafted by the Panthers, and it's been 12 years since they've had the first overall pick, and they go quarterback again. They go Bryce Young out of Alabama, and this is just the right choice. He was my number one guy on my like board of all the guys that I've watched, and he's just a phenomenal player. Yes, you can question the size or the, how his body's built. He's not really, he's really skinny. He's not really built to his frame just yet, but his intelligence is off the chart. His ability to read defenses, his ability to go through his progressions, make the right throws, make really tight window throws as well. If you look at the Kansas State Sugar Bowl game, he threw a absolute dime in the on the back pylon on a corner route. It was just absolutely beautiful throw for a touchdown in that game. So he can make those type of throws. And Carolina got their guy. They went out. Obviously, they traded DJ Moore to the Chicago Bears, but they picked up Adam Thielen. They have Terrence Marshall Jr., who, the jury's still out. I think he's a guy that can be a really solid number two, number three receiver in the NFL, I think, given the opportunities. And kind of blanking on their third guy that they have, but they're building something there in Carolina with that offense, and they have a really good defense already. And you add Frank Wright, and you add the type of system he probably would like to run in Carolina, and I really like this spot for Bryce Young, and I really like the pick for Carolina. I'll give them an A plus because they got the right player. They didn't reach for somebody or not. They got the best player in the draft and with the number one pick. So I really liked what they did there. So now let's move on to the Houston Texans. And with the second overall pick, they ended up going quarterback, not defense, like a lot of analysts and a lot of people thought they would do with that second pick. They decided to go quarterback. They went CJ Stroud, quarterback out of Ohio State. And I like the pick. I do. I'm a guy that I thought they were going on defense, and I thought they were going to go get their cornerstone guy on the defense. But having that franchise quarterback, especially if you believe they can be a franchise quarterback, you have to go take him. You have to take him, especially when you have the second pick in the draft. You have to take that risk on that quarterback, especially if you think he can be the guy that can lead you to the Super Bowl and lead the franchise into a, I guess, a better future than what it's been heading towards the last 5 years with this team ever since the Deshaun Watson stuff started happening. But I really like this pick with CJ Stroud. He's a good quarterback. He's my second quarterback on the board. And honestly, they need a quarterback to go out and get him. And then we can kind of mix it in here, obviously, with what they did with the third pick. So they trade up from number three or from number 12 to number three. And Arizona moves back from the third spot all the way down to number 12. And what the Cardinals ended up accumulating was a first and a third in the 2024 draft and the 33rd overall pick in this year's draft. And obviously they got the number 12 pick as well. So the Texans go get their franchise guy and then trade up and they go get Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama, and then they get their cornerstone defensive guy. I loved what they did here. I really did. I think Tyree Wilson may have fit a 4-3 scheme a little bit better than Will Anderson Jr., but Will Anderson Jr. is the safer pick. He has experience. He produced at a high level his first 3 year or his first 2 years at Alabama in the SEC. And obviously, you've seen last year, you don't know if it's more just he didn't want to get injured and all that. Just he didn't produce as much. But Will Anderson is just a safe pick. He's a guy that has proven himself in the SEC. And a lot of people value the SEC a lot, especially trenches plays, defense, and offensive line. They value that a lot. So the Texans go and they get their QB of the future, and they go get their guy who's going to rush QBs for hopefully 10, 15 years plus, and Will Anderson Jr. I really like what they did here because you have like half the people like they should go get quarterback. Half the people are like, you know what, if they don't believe in the quarterback in this year's draft class, just go with the defensive guy and build that culture, that defensive culture that probably D'Amico Ryans wants to build there. But they get both of them, and I like it. I know people are going to question the trade up or whatever. They still got another first round pick, I think, from the Deshaun Watson trade. They still got another first round pick in 24. So why not go maybe just give them your first, or I forgot which first they gave them, but they go give them one of the first from 24, and you still have a first round pick in 24, but you're able to get a guy that you believe in at quarterback and a guy that you think is going to be that cornerstone defensive guy, and Will Anderson Jr. I love what the Texans did here, and I know a lot of people when we get to Philadelphia, a lot of people are going to say Philadelphia really won this draft or really won day one. I think the Texans won day one, in my opinion. I think the Texans absolutely won day one. You can talk about the trade up all you want. I really like Will Anderson Jr. And if you like both of those guys that much, you risk it and you go take them and you die on that sword with going and risking it. Because, like I said, and I think it was the mock draft or the bold prediction draft, like you just got to risk stuff sometimes. Like, like NFL. Being a GM, there's so many risks involved. Look at the Chiefs. They risked a lot going for Pat Mahomes, and they could have easily whiffed if Pat Mahomes didn't pan out, but he ended up panning out. Same thing if you look at the Trubisky stuff. Bears took a shot, went up to the second pick to go try to get Trubisky. He didn't pan out. But you got to go take those risks. It's the NFL, and if you don't take those risks, you're not going to succeed in the NFL, and they went and they took that risk. And just look at New England, they took a risk. They instead of going with your number one quarterback that's been there and led you to a Super Bowl in years previous, they stuck with Tom Brady. They stuck with the sixth round pick. Taking those risks is what's made the NFL the way it is, and the Texans took a risk. And honestly, I think it hopefully it does pay off for them. But I really love what they did there. So we'll move on to the number four pick, which is the Indianapolis Colts, another AFC South team. And we got two options here. We got Will Levis, and we got Anthony Richardson. Who do they choose? They choose Anthony Richardson. They go projection over, more pro ready ish type of a guy, which I didn't think Will Levis was as pro ready as Anthony, or not Anthony Richardson, but as some of the other guys. I just didn't think he was. I think there's a lot of stuff that he needed to clean up in his game. But Colts go Anthony Richardson, and I love this pick. I do. I love this pick. I was talking about it in my mock draft where Shane Steichen, he's coached Teddy Bridgewater at Louisville. He's coached Jalen Hurts, obviously, last year. He's coached Phillip Rivers. He has a variety of knowledge. You can add Justin Herbert in there because he was there with Justin Herbert as well, I think, for Justin Herbert's rookie year. But he has a variety of knowledge on how to deal with different style of quarterbacks. And you have Anthony Richardson, who absolutely tore up the combine. And if you look at his film, he got better each and every week that he played at Florida in his first, in his only year starting for them. So you can see the improvement in all of that, and you're getting with a guy that has so much knowledge of the quarterback position. He just had one of the best offenses in the league last year and led them to the Super Bowl and almost winning the Super Bowl, and probably did all that he could, if you want to count in the fact that Jalen Hurts dropped the ball and ended up being a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and that was kind of the difference in the game, if you kind of go down to the nitty-gritty of it. And all that, like, Shane Steichen is a guy that has a lot of knowledge, and you add in a guy that has so much athleticism, so much potential, and you put him with a guy with that much knowledge, this is going to be a fun offense to watch, especially if they can get him some protection. I know they need, you know, some guard help, maybe a left tackle if they can go get one. They need some, maybe a third wide receiver on the roster that can go make plays, and maybe go get a number one wide receiver next year, because I like Pierce, I like Pittman, but they're not number one guys. And then you add on the fact that you have arguably one of the best running backs in the league, and Jonathan Taylor, who played who teams just keyed in on last year, and he did not do as well. He had a couple of his spurts, like at the end of the year, mid-season, but he just didn't play as well. But you add in Anthony Richardson, who has the ability to run with his legs, and he's just another option that defenses have to worry about. And that RPO system that comes from that, Doug Peterson type tree, that Doug Peterson tree, where you have Frank Wright, you have Shane Steichen, you have Nick Sirianni, coming from that tree, that RPO heavy tree, and have, like, that's just going to be a fun backfield. That's just going to be a very fun backfield with Jonathan Taylor, with Anthony Richardson. It's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to watch them grow into the players that they should be. It's going to be super fun to watch. So we'll move on to the number five pick, and honestly, it was probably my first, like, big surprise of the draft, because I know Seattle was, maybe looking at corner, but I was very keyed in on them getting defensive line because they're so good at finding gems in the late round at cornerback. And they go and they decide, you know what, hey, let's go get a first-round corner and Devin Witherspoon. And I absolutely love the pick. I do. I love Devin Witherspoon. That dude is smart. He's physical. And I was hoping he was, as a Bears fan, I was hoping he'd go to Detroit because he just fit that culture so much. But him in Seattle, there's just such a lineage over the past 10, 15 years with the cornerback position and them just finding gems. And now they got their own. They're almost restarting the Legion of Boom, almost. Like, you have Jamal Adams, who's more of a box safety, but he's a solid box safety. You have, Woolen or Tariq Woolen, who led the league in interceptions last year. Now you have Devon Witherspoon, who arguably the best cornerback in the draft class. I think very close. I think you could really argue Forbes, or you could argue Gonzalez if you want to, but he's just going to fit right in with that Seattle team. And I think it says a lot maybe about what happened in interviews with Jalen Carter, why he dropped past them. And then we'll get into the trade with the Lions and the Cardinals here, but why the Lions decided, hey, let's just trade back and not draft him at six either. But I really like that pick. And maybe they were just worried that Detroit, maybe there's going to be some battles with Detroit in the playoffs, and they wanted Devon Witherspoon on their side rather than Detroit's side. So they went and they got arguably the best corner in the draft class. Definitely my number two, but he's definitely worth this caliber of pick here for sure. He's a great player. So we'll move on to the second trade of the day, which is the Cardinals once again. But instead of trading back, they're moving up to number six, and the Lions move back to number 12. And I think this was just because Devon Witherspoon was gone. And I think they were really in on Devon Witherspoon, and I'm assuming they were like, if he's gone, we're open to trading back. And I'm assuming that's probably what happened. And the Cardinals traded up, took advantage of it, and they go and they get their franchise left tackle in Paris Johnson Jr. And this was just a Kyler Murray pleasing pick. There's been a lot of negative media around Kyler Murray, and maybe, I don't know if there's locker room stuff or whatever going on. I haven't heard anything or anything like that, but you have a new head coach in there. He's a defensive guy, but you have a quarterback who, people, young quarterback who people always really want to align young quarterbacks with OCs and all of that, but you go out and you get a DC guy. But what better way to, I guess, to please him? He's been really talking to the media about wanting Paris Johnson. And why not just go trade up and get him after you traded back, accumulated some picks? You still have that second round pick, and then trade up and get your franchise left tackle to protect Kyler Murray. Now, we can debate all we want about how effective the offensive line is, because Kyler Murray does run around sometimes a little bit too much and all of that. But Paris Johnson, if Kyler Murray can stay in the pocket longer, I think Paris Johnson is just it's a really good fit there. It's a really good pick. You could argue defense, but I think it may just say more about maybe the interviews once again with Jalen Carter, of why he slipped past Seattle, and then Detroit decides, you know what, I think we're okay with trading down and not taking Carter. Cardinals trade up, a move that everybody thought they were going to go defense, or go somebody to go rush the passer, that everybody was thinking about Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, and instead they or Jalen Carter with that, and instead they go and they get Paris Johnson. So very interesting, and I'm assuming it had a lot to do with like interviews and team and meetings with Jalen Carter, assuming why he slipped and all of that. And watch the Ryan Poles press conference and all that, and he wouldn't try to comment on it, but he did say character really did play a part in all of that. And they're another team that traded back to not take Jalen Carter as well. So you wonder if that stuff played into it as well. But we'll move on to the number seven, and the Raiders stayed put, and they went with Tyree Wilson. And I thought this was a great pick. He's a guy that offers immediate run stopping ability to set the edge, to have run support. He's a guy that offers that immediately. And then he can learn over time. You have Chandler Jones there. You have Maxx Crosby, two really good pass rushers. He can learn over time on how to, or I guess, learn moves, get his arsenal built up in the pass rushing game and learn that. But he's going to be a really good a run stuffer, or edge setter as well on that defensive line. And I like it a lot. Yes, they needed a corner. They could have gone Gonzalez. They could have gone whoever they wanted to. They could have gone Will Levis if they wanted to, but I will always stand by this. What neutralizes a great passing game is not the secondary, but it is the defensive line. It is the pass rush. And them going out and getting a pass rusher or a potential high potential pass rusher guy that could definitely be a elite pass rusher if he's able to get that arsenal together. I think it is a smart move because we look and see like what happened with Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. An elite pass rush got to him and it rattled him. And the Raiders, I think, are going in on pass rushers and trying to get that going to where like they have to play Pat Mahomes twice a year, maybe three times a year if they meet in the playoffs. So why not beat him up a little bit in the regular season with some pass rushers, with some hits, and getting to him with your pass rushing game? Why not do that? So I really like the pick with the Raiders, and like I said, he's a guy that you can plug and play right away while he develops. So I really like the pick with Tyree Wilson there. So we'll move on here to the number eight pick in the Falcons. This really popped up a couple of days ago. They were like, Falcons are going to get Bijan. Falcons see Bijan as a generational running back. And the Falcons go Bijan Robinson with the eighth pick in the NFL draft. And it's a pick that I wouldn't have made personally with them. I would have maybe gone edge or traded back and let somebody go get quarterback or whatever. But honestly, the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. You're talking about Arthur Smith. He came from Tennessee. His offense is very heavily predicated on a really good running game. You go get your guy, Tyler Algier, really solid guy, but he's not a leading guy. Cordarrelle Patterson, a receiving guy, a receiving back. He's not really a number one caliber back. He's more of a change of pace, game out on third down and all of that. And Bijan Robinson's a guy that he can play all three downs for you. He's a leading guy that can come in and play right away for your team. And I think just fits this scheme and fits probably what Arthur Smith wants to do and be a team that has a really good run game, that its run game sets up its passing game. And you see how effective it has been in Tennessee when Tennessee's healthy, where they've been a perennial playoff team with that type of system, with a quarterback that is pretty like mediocre in Ryan Tannehill. So if they think Desmond Ridder's that guy, or if I thought Desmond Ridder improved a lot in the couple of games that he played at the end of the year last year, and if they think Desmond Ridder can improve, exponentially or just improve a good amount from year one to year two, and then you add in Bijan Robinson and you add in Arthur Smith and what he actually wants to do with his offense, I really like what the Falcons did here. The more I think about it, the more I sit on it, the more I kind of like just ponder it. Just like, I really like what they did here because it takes pressure off for Desmond Ridder. The offense is focused around Bijan, and it allows Desmond Ridder to grow and to get more into that system and more of that rhythm of what Arthur Smith likes to do. So I really come to, I guess, like, really like the pick with the Falcons, even though I did question it a little bit early on. But if they don't like Jalen Carter, like I was mentioning earlier, with like maybe the interviews and all that, and then you have Tyree Wilson go, you have Will Anderson go. There's not really a lot of options I would have personally taken with the eighth pick. As an edge rusher guy, I would have maybe traded back if I was taking the edge rusher, but they felt that Bijan was a generational type of running back. So I don't blame them if they feel that way. And then the way their offense is set up and how predicated it is on the run game, why not go get a running back that you feel is generational? So I like the pick for the Falcons, but I do think they could have traded back, but you still have the Eagles there at 10, so you don't know if the Eagles are going to take him or not there. So we'll move on to the Eagles, and the Eagles traded up one spot to the Bears and give the Bears kind of a free pick, a free fourth round pick in 24. But the Eagles go and they go get Jalen Carter, and now we're in the position where a lot of people think this is a great pick. I personally think it's a really good pick. I don't know if it's a great pick. We still have to see him at the NFL level. We have to see how much he wants it because you hear about all the stuff off the field and in the media and all that. And you look at his pro day was terrible. It was awful. But then you go and you watch him on film and you're just like, there's the talent there, but he looks a little bit lazy from time to time. I like where I'm more like where he landed than the Eagles picking him, if that makes any sense. So I like Jalen Carter landing in Philadelphia and being able to learn behind Fletcher Cox, being able to be with Jordan Davis, and learning behind, you have Brandon Graham there, you have a bunch of veterans on that defensive line that he can learn and sit behind and just grow as maybe a person and as a football player. But on the Eagles side of it, it is a risky pick. It is a risky pick because it could fall flat on your face. But I was talking to Houston, my brother, with this when they did draft him. It's a pick that the Eagles can they can go and they can take that risk because Fletcher Cox still has a couple more years, and if Jalen Carter isn't panning out by the end of the second year, it doesn't really hurt the Eagles in the long run. They can draft another interior guy if they want to because they still have Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis showed a lot of promise last year. And Jalen Carter isn't that guy. Or if he doesn't prove himself to be that guy, it doesn't hurt them at all. It's not really a negative on them because Jalen Carter is going to be more of a rotational guy at least his first year in the league with that defense. And if year two comes around and he's still a rotational guy and he isn't that starter, he isn't that main guy that everybody thought he was going to be, it doesn't really hurt them that much. I think they can go and they can maybe by 20, maybe 23, 24, by 2025, if he's not the guy, they can just go and get another interior guy that they like a lot. So, and Howie Roseman does this a lot. So he loves his trenches guys. Like I said in my mock draft podcast, he's a guy that loves the trenches, and if a guy's not panning out, he's not afraid to push them aside and go get another guy that can fill that hole. So I like the risk by the Eagles. I like it even better for Jalen Carter where he ended up. I do. I like where he ended up. I think it's one of the best situations he could have ended up in. So we'll move on here to my number, or the number 10 pick, which is my Chicago Bears. And I was so happy with this pick. I was jumping up in joy when his name was announced. Darnell Wright, tackle out of Tennessee. The Bears drafted him, and I was absolutely ecstatic. I was ecstatic. He was my favorite offensive line prospect in the draft. He wasn't my In my rankings, he's my number two because he was a right tackle. But obviously, the Bears viewed him as the number one offensive lineman in this year's draft because if you listen to the press conference with Ryan Poles, they really thought he was the guy. And they were okay with not taking Jalen Carter. And as a Bears fan, I'm okay with it. I know you have a lot of Bears fans on social media. You can't win for losing with them or whatever the saying, I think that's the same, but whatever the saying is with that. But like a lot of Bears fans are just negative. A lot of them are negative Nancys, and it sucks because I'm a Bears fan. I've been a Bears fan my whole life, and this is a great pick by Chicago. It's a pick that a lot of people wanted, and it's a pick that honestly I think is going to he's going to be a guy in Chicago for a long time at right tackle. And it just solidifies that offensive line because then you have Braxton Jones on the left side. You have Nate Davis And then you have Tevin Jenkins. You can intertwine them however you want to, where which one fits better on each side. You have Cody Whitehair, who I think his natural position is center, and that's where he's played the best in his career, is at center. And then you add in Darnell Wright, who is a right tackle who could probably move in the guard if you need him to. If somebody gets injured, you could probably move him over to the left tackle if something happens to Braxton Jones or whatever. So I like Darnell Wright a lot. I think he's a guy that he proved himself in the SEC against some very good edge rushers. You're talking about B.J. Ojulari, who I think was a borderline first-round pick, definitely a second-round pick. You're talking about Will Anderson, who was a third overall pick in this year's draft, and he handled him and handled his business against him. So I really like this pick for my Bears, and I love it. It was a good pick for me. It was the guy I had the Bears go or had him go to with the Bears in my mock draft, and I'm just happy the Bears got him. It's definitely a good draft moment for sure, especially with the Bears. You're not sure what type of draft moments you're going to get with them. So we'll move on here to the number 11 pick, and another tackle goes off the board. Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern goes to the Titans as maybe the Taylor Lewan replacement. That's what I think it's going that's where I think he's going to be. Or if they want to move him in the guard, or want to move him in the guard because they did sign Andre Dillard, I think to maybe a couple of years or like 2 year a 2 year deal or whatever. But Skoronski is a guy that he's a guy that is just he's a very technical guy. His arms are a huge issue, and I think he fits better on the inside. I think he'd be a really, really good guard if they move him on the inside, and he's able to use his technique a little bit more than he would be on the outside, being one-on-one with some of these long-armed edge rushers. But for me, Skoronski is a good pick here because they need offensive line. The offensive line wasn't that good last year, and you go and you add Andre Dillard, who has good upside, who had a lot of athleticism coming out of Washington State, I think, and was a first-round pick for a reason. And you're hoping that he can turn into that first-round pick guy that he wasn't at Philadelphia. And maybe Skoronski can find his niche in at left or in at like guard or whatever, maybe left tackle, maybe move Dillard in the guard or something like that, or maybe put him at right tackle, something like. Skoronski is a good pick. I like Skoronski. I think it's a solid pick. He's not my top tackle. He was my number five tackle in this year's draft class, but I do like him. I do think he's really solid. I'm just worried about his arm length and all of that. But if they utilize him right, they put him, I think, in at guard, and he would be a really good guard for him. So I do like the pick if they do end up moving him to guard, but I do worry a little bit if they keep him at tackle. So we'll move on to another kind of shocking pick here. We have a couple of them here in a row. This is a shocking pick to me. Jahmyr Gibbs goes to Detroit at number 12. This was like, I put what the heck, LOL, in my notes here. Like, this is, like, for me as a Bears fan, like, it just doesn't, for me, it doesn't make any sense. And I just don't know like why they went here with the pick. You still have Christian Gonzalez. You still need help on the secondary. You could use any other like pick if you wanted to. You could go tight end if you want to. You could have picked up any wide receiver you wanted to pair with Amon-Ra St. Brown, but you went and you got a running back who, yes, their running back room is like it's solid. I love David Montgomery. As a Bears fan, I love David Montgomery. I love the pickup that they got with him. DeAndre Swift, I still have my questions about him. I don't think he sees the field and reads the holes as correctly as he should be and what his potential allows him to be. And we saw that on Hard Knocks when Deuce Daly was kind of chewing him out on Hard Knocks last year. But Jahmyr Gibbs is a guy that I do like it, but then you wonder what are they going to do with this running attack here, because like obviously DeAndre Swift, there's been trade rumors for him for a while now, and you wonder if he's going to like they're going to trade him, like what type of value they're going to get, because they drafted him in the second round a couple of years ago, like I think 2 years ago now, and or 2 or 3 years ago now, and you're wondering if they're not going to get that same value back. So you're wondering how much value they're going to lose by trading him, and where are they going to trade him? And I do wonder, I don't know how I like the Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery backfield combo. It's an interesting combination here because David Montgomery, a very solid back, a guy that is very elusive. You know, he's really solid in the passing game. Jahmyr Gibbs, a little bit more of an explosive guy, a little bit better in the passing game. I think maybe David Montgomery's a little bit better inside the tackles, but it's a very interesting pickup. It is an interesting pickup. It is a shock for sure. I was not expecting Jahmyr Gibbs to go here. If they would have picked him at 18, I would have been a little bit less shocked. I still would have questioned it for sure, but like I at 12, I was blown away. I was so confused. I'm still confused. I just don't understand it. They needed a corner. They had Christian Gonzalez. They had Emmanuel Forbes. They had a plethora of corners they could have chosen from because only one corner had been taken up to that point. And they went and they got running back. So it's an interesting pickup. I do like Jahmyr Gibbs. I did think he was a first round pick. I just didn't think he was this high of a first round pick. So we'll move on to my number or the number 13 pick. I'm used to talking about my mock draft from a couple of days ago. I keep saying my 13th pick, but the 13th pick. And it's another NFC set or NFC North team. And it's the Packers, my arch rival as a Bears fan. They go Lucas Van Ness. And as a Bears fan, I absolutely love this pick. I am not huge on Lucas Van Ness. If you look and you go to my edge rushers, he's lower on the list. He's like my 15th edge rusher guy. I thought he was there's but obviously there's potential there. I do see the potential there. I do see the athleticism. You know, he does bring power into his rushes, and he does have that. But there's just too many times where he got beat on plays and wasn't able to make the play. And I worry he's just a big project for me. And like projects like him, I would be more comfortable with the team taking him in the second round rather than the first round. In the second round, I would have been okay with the team picking him. Even if the Bears would want to go take him in the second round, I wouldn't have minded that much because he is a project, but he's a bigger project than most, or than most on in this draft class. And I was just shocked because the Packers, they had all the wide receivers they could have chosen from. They had the tight ends that they could have chose from, and instead they go defense, where their defense is really good last year. They probably could use a second pass rusher, but I'm just like wondering why this pick. I don't understand it. I don't. It does fit the Packers, so they forgo like any wide receiver they can. Like they just refuse to draft wide receivers in the first round or pass catchers in the first round, especially when they need one. It just doesn't make to me. It doesn't make any sense. That's the second straight pick that doesn't make any sense to me at all. And yeah, I know that I do like the I saw like on NFL Network the comparison was Rashawn Gary, and I agree with that. I was not a huge Rashawn Gary guy coming out of Michigan. He reminded me a lot of Lucas Van Ness. I was just not a huge guy on him. I thought Rashawn Gary was a little bit more productive in college, and a little bit better like pro projection than Lucas Van Ness, but Rashawn Gary has proven himself to be a quality player. I don't know. I think he's a little bit overrated. I do think he's a solid, good edge rusher. And I just don't know. It's a question mark for me. I don't know. As a Bears fan, I love it because I really did not see him as a first round talent. I saw him more as a early third round, the late second round talent that a team could definitely take a chance on in the draft. But it just for me, he's just not a first round talent guy. I was worried that the Bears were going to get him, and the Packers ended up getting him. So, as a Bears fan, I love the pick because it's just not a guy I'm high on, but he could definitely like he does have the I'll say this though, he does have the potential to be a really solid player, but there's still a lot left to be desired, in my opinion, for Lucas Van Ness. So it's another question mark move for me. So we'll move on here to the number 14th pick. And there was another trade. I think this is the third trade now, if I'm not mistaken, with the Steelers trading up to number 14 from, I think, where are they? Trade up. I think they traded with the Patriots. I think I missed the Patriots right here. Or no, never mind. No, never mind. All right, here we go. So yeah, I like completely misread my notes here. So yeah, the Steelers trade from 14 to 17, with the Patriots, and such a smart move. Such a smart move. I can't speak, but they go and they get Broderick Jones, a really good left tackle, to protect. Zach, or not Zach, I almost said Zach Wilson. I'm thinking the Jets real quick. The protect Kenny Pickett. Two short quarterbacks. Got them mixed up a little bit, but Broderick Jones to the Steelers. I really like it. You're protecting Kenny Pickett. You're protecting your franchise guy. I love the pick. And the Jets, a pick in are and they traded up to jump the Jets, who were a pick behind them. And they probably wanted Broderick Jones as well. They have a need at tackle, and just a absolutely brilliant move by the Steelers to do that, to jump them. And you know New England was okay with this because you're talking about the Jets, who are the same division as New England. Why not go trade back and ruin your division rival's ability to get a possible franchise left tackle for your team, or franchise right tackle, depending on how Mekhi Becton is, how healthy Mekhi Becton is, or if they decide to move him left to right or not. But I love the move by New England. I think this is a better move for New England than it was the Steelers to trade up, because New England prevented the Jets from getting a key piece to that offensive line that would have protected Aaron Rodgers. So I love the move by New England. And the Steelers, really good move here. The trade up, get Broderick Jones, protect Kenny Pickett. They needed some offensive line help, and they go and they get it. I really, really like the move here for the Steelers. And as we know, Joey Porter is still available. They can still go get him. I know people keep saying the Steelers are going to get him. I don't think they're going to get him. I think they probably go somewhere else with that top pick in the second round, or it could possibly get traded. Who knows? If somebody likes Will Levis that much and wants to go up and get him. But I really like this move here by the Steelers. I think it's a really good pick here. So we'll move on here to now the Jets. And the Jets go Will McDonald. And this is another pick I was kind of like, what the heck? I was like, I thought Will McDonald for me is a very high upside pass rusher guy. And I know pass rushing is super important in the NFL, but also running the football is super important. And when you get into these close games and teams up on you, they're going to run the football down your throat. And Chiefs were very effective at doing that. You have the Patriots, who were really solid at running the football last year. The Bills, not so much or whatever, but Miami is another team that I think they probably need a running back to go get a running back and have a good running back to go fit in Mike McDaniel's offense more so. But Will McDonald, just it was a baffling pick for me. There was, I think, you had Kalaji Kansi there, who was another, I think, a lot better of a high pass rushing. Excuse me, there a high pass rushing upside guy. More so than Will McDonald, who also can see, I think, could develop into a better run stopper. Where Will McDonald, it's going to take him a couple of years. Let me look up his weight here. I want to say he's around 230, and he's playing on the defensive line as an edge guy. And that worries me a lot. And that's why for me, I think he was a third round pick. Yeah, he's 240. I think he more played at like 230, I want to say, for Iowa State. But he's a guy that just he doesn't have that big of a frame. Yes, he has elite athleticism and the ability to rush the passer, and I think he'd be really solid on it. But when guys get hands on him, he kind of stalled out a little bit. And in the run game, I just worry about him because of his weight. And you need to be able to play both the run and the pass. If not, teams are going to key in on that, and they're going to attack you all game long if you don't work on it, if you don't gain weight. So it's a very risky pick here, and it was very interesting. I think they could have got him in the second round if they wanted to, and maybe got somebody else here at 15. But obviously, I'm not in these front offices. I don't know. Some team probably would have picked him in the first round anyway because of the pass rushing upside. But it's one of those things where teams value rushing the passer a lot. He provides that potential, but also you still have to consider in the running game and the rushing attacks in the NFL and how important it is to stop the run as well. Because you stop the run, if you can stop the run with your front seven very easily, it limits the other team's ability a lot, and it really forces them into being only a pass or a passing threat. And it's an interesting pick for sure. I thought Will McDonald was an early third, late second guy with high upside and high pass rushing upside with very minimal like run stopping ability on the edge, but we'll see what happens here. And I tweeted this out when he got drafted. If there is a guy that can figure out how to work with Will McDonald and realize that potential, it is Robert Saleh. So it's another case where, like Jalen Carter, I think Will McDonald was more so, I think, landed in a better spot than the Jets ended up drafting a good, I guess, a value pick or whatever, or drafted more correctly, I guess. But I think Will McDonald is more, I'll say, it's more of a win, if this makes any more sense. Will McDonald is more of a win going to the Jets than the Jets, I think, drafting Will McDonald. So I think it's more of a win for Will McDonald to learn under Robert Saleh and all of that. So I think it is a win for him. And honestly, like, if he does end up turning out to be a great pass rusher, I think he has that ability too. He does. I just like I said, I'm being the dead horse over this, but his run ability was really the thing that worried me the most about him. But like I said, Robert Saleh, if there's anybody that can figure it out, it's him. He's such a great defensive coach. Yeah, drink here real quick. So we'll move on to the Washington Commanders, and they pick, I thought they were going to go Christian Gonzalez here or Joey Porter, but they go Emmanuel Forbes. My guy, I loved watching Emmanuel Forbes. He was absolutely phenomenal. He was phenomenal at Mississippi State. He's such a ball hawk. He's a guy that's going to be around the ball. He's great in zone. He's very instinctive. He's very fluid with his hips. He's able to carry guys. You watch the Alabama tape, he was carrying guys all over the field. You do worry about his weight a little bit. He is 165, but he's just like when I was talking the mock draft and I mentioned Bucky Brooks, they had the comparison with Joey Porter and Ron Rivera working with Josh Norman and all of that and the similarities there. I do think there's a lot of similarities with Emmanuel Forbes and his ability to play zone, but also play, I think, a little bit better man coverage than Joey Porter. And that's why he's my number one corner, is he has the ability to do both. He has fluid hips. I liked him a lot. I do. I just think sometimes he could be a little bit too aggressive, but if you like guys that are aggressive, go and get your guy. And Emmanuel Forbes was, I loved watching his tape. He really blew me away. I thought he should. His talent was a first round pick, but you look at the traits and the physical nature of him being 160, and you worry about like is he at a weight to play in the NFL? But I love this play on the field. I did, and I thought he was worthy of a first round pick, and the Commanders thought so too, and probably some other teams did too. And the Commanders got their cornerback. So I really like this pick from the Commanders. I thought it was a really well done pick. You know, you can put some weight on him and he'll still have that those abilities. So I absolutely love this pick for the Commanders. This is a great pick. And then we'll move on to another. I thought it was an absolutely outstanding pick. It is New England going and getting Christian Gonzalez. They traded down. They were able to prohibit their division rival from getting a crucial position of need. And they go and they get something that they needed, which was, you know, another number one corner to pair with Jonathan Jones and Jack Jones. And they go and they get Christian Gonzalez, and he just fits so perfectly in New England system. He's a guy that you can run, you can play press, and you can play press man coverage. He has good instincts. The only question I really had was like his ability to drive on, you know, flat plays or like flat routes and drive quickly to the ball on those plays. But a lot of what New England runs is man to man, and I think he fits that perfectly. I thought he had really solid hips. He's good. He has great instincts. He's really good in press man coverage. I really like Christian Gonzalez, and I love the fit here in New England. I thought it was a really great fit. When he got picked there, I was like, that is the perfect fit for him. It was just a great fit for them. And I just like these two corners going back to back like this. I think Forbes fits great with the Commanders. I think Gonzalez fits great with New England here. So we'll go on to the Lions' second pick at number 18. And the Lions go and they get Jack Campbell out of Iowa, a guy that I thought was like, if you go look at my draft prospects, I had him ranked. Let me see where I had him ranked here. I had him, where was he at here? I completely lost it. Oh, right here. So yeah, I had him at number 29. I had him technically as a first round pick. I did. I had him as a first round rating. I like Jack Campbell a lot. But it's another thing where I do question. I was like, could you have gotten him later, or could you have maybe traded back with the team? Maybe like say if the Ravens were calling and they wanted like Zay Flowers or somebody, and why not try to trade back and give the Ravens the option to pick whatever wide receiver that they wanted. But I'm curious because I know like there I saw I think on Twitter where like the Lions got the guy. I think like they were the top people on the board for the Lions. They drafted best player available for their draft board, and Campbell was on that board. But I just think you can project of like kind of like maybe this person's going to go a little bit later, so why not trade down a little bit and get him later? But you know, one of these teams probably could have picked him up, like the Bucks. Devin White wants out and wants a trade. Maybe they go pick him up and they go trade away Devin White, or the Chargers, you know, Seattle. Maybe you could have questioned it, but I do love Jack Campbell, though. I thought he was a great player. I thought the one biggest weakness for him, for me, was getting off blocks at a consistent rate. He's a super smart guy. He can play sideline to sideline. I think he did really solid end zone coverage. I think he could get a little bit better, but he's a guy that very few weaknesses. Very few weaknesses. An all around really good player. And just that defense, and you add in Malcolm Rodriguez, who played phenomenal for him last year, and then you add in Jack Campbell, that's just a really smart linebacking core. That is a super smart linebacking core. And then you add in on top of that, they go and they get Jahmyr Gibbs. These two are going to be having some battles in training camp and in practice and in preseason practice. It's going to be fun, like for them probably to watch those two just hit each other in practice. They're probably going to enjoy watching those two just go at each other. So Honestly, I do like the Lions going out and getting him. I do think they could have traded back and got him later, but I do like the pick though, because I like Jack Campbell a lot. I do. I thought he was a first round guy. I thought he would have went later in the first round because teams don't really value inside linebackers as much anymore. But Jack Campbell, a guy that I think has a lot of potential to be a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker. So I really like the pick for Detroit here. So we'll move on to number 19. And number 19 to the Bucks was Kalaji Kansi, and I love this pick. I absolutely love this pick for the Buccaneers because it just opens up stuff on in their pass rush, because Vita Vea takes up two people automatically with his size, with his strength. You put him one-on-one with somebody, he's going to absolutely destroy them. So you have to double him. And then you have Kalaji Kansi on the other side of the interior, and you put him in one-on-ones. The thing I thought he struggled with the most was getting double teamed. And you allow him to his first couple years in the league, you allow him to develop, get stronger, figure out how to play or figure out the play strength of the NFL while he develops. And then you add on top of that his pass rushing ability. So Vita Vea is getting double teamed. Kalaji Kansi is going to be wrecking havoc in the pass rushing game on one-on-ones with the guard. So, and then you add in Tyron Shyunku, or I don't know if I butchered his name or not, but the edge rusher from Washington they got a couple years ago, a guy that has absolutely played his butt off. And is a guy that's a hard worker, and I just like this defensive line and what they're building here. Todd Bowles definitely loved this pick. That he was excited when you watched that film. He was excited that he was able to get him and pair him with Vita Vea. And this was a guy that I had mocked to the Chargers because I thought him playing alongside Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack would have been fun to watch. This is fun to watch too. Him and Vita Vea alongside each other in the interior of that Bucks defensive line. Absolutely fun. That's a fun combo. And Kalaji Kansi, a guy that I didn't have really hate rated high or rated highly on my interior defensive lineman, I still like him a lot. I do. I think there's so much upside. It's another guy like Will McDonald. I worry about the run game a little bit with him, but I think this is a perfect spot for him because I thought he was a little bit consistent on one-on-ones in the run game, but the more he gets reps at it, the more he gets stronger, the more he gains a little bit of weight, and he's able to get to that play strength of the NFL. I think he'll start winning one-on-ones more often, and he already has that ability to beat one-on-ones in pass pro. And then you add in the ability to potentially grow into a better run stopper as well. I love the pick here, and I love the pick here for Tampa Bay. It's a really good pick there. So yeah, I'm gonna take a little bit of a break here. The almost hour minutes up on Anchor. For y'all, it doesn't really, I guess, it stays in rhythm, but for me, kind of taking like a little couple minute break here and then getting back into it kind of messes up the rhythm a little bit for me, I guess. But on y'all's end, it kind of just flows together. So just letting y'all know, just in case like sound a little bit out of rhythm to start back up here, but take a little bit of a break because the hour mark's almost up, and then get back into it and finish up this breakdown of the of day one of the NFL draft. Okay, awesome. And I had the short break here, but now we're back. Let's get into the number 20 selection here, and it is Jaxon Smith-Njigba of Ohio, wide receiver of Ohio State, goes to Seattle to pair him with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I love that pairing. Absolutely love this pairing. And I was honestly debating when I did my mock draft here. I actually have it up here. Let me pull it up here. So I was debating on whether to give them a guard, which they kind of needed, but they decided to pass on it. But Osiris Torrence, who I like a lot, or going and giving them or getting them like Quentin Johnson or somebody of that caliber. Jordan Addison was the other guy that wasn't picked up yet on my mock. Like, I was really debating it. I think Jordan Addison was the other guy because Jordan Addison can play a little bit more slot. Then Quentin Johnson's not a slot guy at all. But getting Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you pair him up with Tyler Lockett, deep threat guy, super good route running guy. You have him paired with DK Metcalf, a guy that's a big play guy, a physical guy, a guy that's going to be in the red zone on plays for you, a guy that can do about everything that you want him to. And then you add in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who is kind of like a little mini tight end for you. He's a guy that's going to get you first downs. He's a guy that is going to be open. He's going to be your check down guy. He's a guy that's going to be your safety blanket. It's going to go make plays for you. I love this pick by Seattle. They go and they get Devin Washington, and they go and get or Devin Washington, Devin Witherspoon, and they go and they get Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like, I love what the Texans did. Texans may be my first winners of the draft. Seattle's definitely my number two. That like what they've done is absolutely incredible, and I'm very excited to see what their offense was. Their offense was super explosive last year. Their offense was obviously it was up and down. When they played really good defenses like San Francisco, they kind of shut down a lot, and I think a lot of that had to do with Geno Smith. But you add in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, this offense just takes it to another level, and you hope Geno Smith is able to grow a little bit. I know he's pushing 30; he's over 10 years in the league at this point. But you're looking at somebody who could possibly just grow a little bit, get a little bit better going through those progressions. And then you add in the running game, Kenneth Walker Jr., who is super, super explosive. A super explosive guy. Maybe bounces out a little bit too much, but a guy that's can hit a home run play at any second. This offense is super explosive. It is going to be a fun offense to watch. And then you add in the fact that they got even better on defense, and they got a guy that can really shore up that secondary for them. And Devin Witherspoon with their first pick. I love what the Seattle Seahawks did here. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it here. So we'll move on to the second wide receiver taken here, and it is Quentin Johnson out of TCU. He goes to the Chargers, and I love the fit here. I do. I love the fit. I love what they did here. He's a guy that struggles to make those easy catches. He's a great 50-50 ball guy. He's a guy that has so much potential. And what better way for him to learn? He's another guy that I love. Like, I think the Chargers, I like the Chargers pick here just in general. It's not like the Will McDonald pick where I like Will McDonald landing in the Jets rather than the Jets picking him. It's more so kind of like the Jalen Carter situation where I like the risk the Chargers took with getting Quentin Johnson, but I also love Quentin Johnson landing in Los Angeles with the Chargers because he gets to learn behind two of the best hands in the league with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And once he learns how to be a very technical pass catcher and catching those easy passes, and then you add in the fact that he can catch those 50-50 balls, he has that home run speed that you want. This Chargers offense is going to be fun to watch, dude. There's it, especially like if these players pan out, especially these wide receivers, these offenses are going to be so fun to watch, especially if these wide receivers pan out. Like, you're talking about Seattle's offense, super fun to watch. And then you have the Chargers, yeah, and Quentin Johnson. If he reaches his potential, that offense is going to be amazing. And then we'll go to the 22nd pick here. With the Ravens, they get Zay Flowers. That offense is going to be fun to watch, especially with the news today that Lamar Jackson finally signed the deal and he's going to be playing with the Ravens for a long time. Like, this is a, oh my gosh, like this is a great pickup here. This is my number one wide receiver, Zay Flowers. And he's just a guy that can do it all. And there's a lot of comparisons to Steve Smith. I love the comparisons to Steve Smith. He's a guy that can go up and do it all. He's a short guy, 5'9", 5'10", that can go up and he can go up and get 50-50 balls for you. He's a guy that can carry your offense in a 2-minute drill and get open when he needs to and find open holes in the zone and allow your quarterback just to pick apart the zone and have a safety blanket there, but also he can be a deep threat. He's a do-it-all guy. He's my favorite wide receiver in this draft, and the Ravens got lucky that the other two teams didn't select him because he fits so perfectly with the Ravens and what they're trying to do. And like I was talking about with my mock draft here, like Zay Flowers is a guy that allows Odell to play on the outside but also play in the slot. You can put Zay Flowers on the outside, you play him in the slot, and you can just maneuver these wide receivers, play positionless basketball type of stuff with these wide receivers where they can line up in different positions and just have the defense like not really like I will stick here. They're having to move around before the play starts, trying to match up with these guys. So I really love this pick here with Zay Flowers. It's another guy that pans out like the other two guys. This offense is gonna be super fun to watch here. And now we'll move on to the number 23 pick. And it's the Vikings. They go and they get the fourth wide receiver. I think Rich Eisen said it. It's the first time ever in NFL draft history that four wide receivers have gone consecutively in a row. Jordan Addison out of USC goes to Minnesota to pair up with the Offensive Player of the Year, Justin Jefferson. Like I say, if they like all four of these guys pan out, these offenses are going to be fun to watch. Yes, you can question the quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith with the Seahawks and the Vikings, but say if they go get their future QB, whether it be this year or next year, and they have those receivers to throw to, and those guys end up panning out for Seattle and for Minnesota, they're gonna be fun to watch here. They're gonna be fun to watch. And Jordan Addison, my main issue with him is the play strength, him getting stronger. I thought he didn't do well against zone. I thought he got bumped off his routes just a little bit too much, but he's a great route runner. He has really good hands. He can make stuff after the catch. You just wonder about the play strength a little bit, and you wonder like obviously he's gonna get up there. He has to gain weight, but I like the pick for Minnesota. They needed that. They needed a corner. They decided to go offense instead, and they go and they get Jordan Addison. I like the pick for Minnesota. It's a good pick. I think if they went corner, if they went wide receiver, I would have liked the pick either way for Minnesota. So I like them both here. So we'll move on here to number 24. We got the Giants, and the Giants trade up with the Jacksonville Jaguars from 24. Or from 25 to 24, and they go and they get Deonte Banks, cornerback out of Maryland. Very high athletic guy, very high potential guy. 4.3 runner, super fluid hips. My main issue with him is the ball skills. Can you go make plays on the football? Had what two interceptions and I think what 30 games as a starter, two interceptions, only 11 passes defended. And you're wondering his ball skills. I think he's a guy that you can match up on on those deep threats. You can match up on their best receiver. He's going to be able to stick with them, but you worry about the ball skills. You worry about getting interceptions, getting passes defended. But he's a guy that has another guy, super high potential. And I like corners with, I think the best position to take a high potential guy, like super athletic guy, is cornerback because I feel like those athletic traits, I think they translate better to corner than most positions where sometimes you have to have really great technique in some of these other positions where corner sometimes the athleticism just straight up wins. And he's a guy that his athleticism straight up wins a lot. And it's a really good pick by the Giants, and they can hopefully you can like Wink Martindale, a very aggressive style defensive coordinator, sends a lot of blitzes. I really like Deonte Banks in this with his athleticism, with his ability to be able to maybe jump balls and do that and get better at those ball skills or play like they're running blitzes and him being able to play man coverage on the outside. I like the fit here for the Giants. I do. You you just hope he develops those ball skills just a little bit. But I do like the Giants getting Deontay Banks here with that 24th pick. So we'll move on here to another trade. So this is the sixth trade, I think. Yeah, I think it's the sixth trade. Sixth or fourth trade, I forgot which one. I think it's the or sixth or fifth. I want to say it's the sixth trade. It is the Bills trading up with Jacksonville. It's another thing that happened here with the Bills jump the Cowboys and they go get Dalton Kincaid tight end out of Utah. And it's just a smart move by the Bills, a smart move by the Jaguars to go and get their guy. Like, Dalton Kincaid is a really good receiving tight end. I do worry about the blocking a little bit, but you're talking about a team that just slings the football. Like I've mentioned in the past, the Bills, that's why I had in my mock draft, that's why I had Bijan mocked to them. To Buffalo, if he fell that far, was because they needed a running game because they passed the ball a little bit too much. Well, you add in a pass catcher and Dalton Kincaid at the tight end position, who a team that passes the football a lot, you need another guy to be able to take some pressure off of our Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis, and Dalton Kincaid's the guy to do that. He's such a good pass catcher. He just doesn't he's just such a natural receiver that he's the best receiver in this. He's one of the best receivers in general in this draft class. You're including wide receivers in that too, or pass catchers in this draft class, but including wide receivers. But he's a tight end, and that's what makes him special. And like, of course, he needs to gain weight. He needs to get better in the run game and blocking in the run game and blocking edge guys, but his pass catching is something you don't teach. His ability to be a pass catcher, and I love the fit there with Buffalo with Dalton Kincaid, and it's a good fit. It is a really good fit there for Dalton Kincaid and for Buffalo. I love the ability to trade up here and take Dalton Kincaid away from Dallas if they were going to go pick him. But we'll move on here to Dallas at 26, and they go and they take Mazi Smith, which I thought was a very interesting pick. He's another guy I thought was a second round guy to me that I thought a team could have picked him up in the second round. The Cowboys, I think, reached a little bit. I do like Mazi Smith a lot. He was my number three, my number three interior guy, and then number one or number two was Ika out of Baylor. I forgot his first. I always butcher his first name, but. And the number one was Byron Young out of Alabama for me. But Mazi Smith, I thought it was a little bit of a reach here. I didn't think there was a first round talent interior guy that was going to get drafted. But Mazi Smith actually did get drafted. And he's a guy that I do like him. He provides immediate impact. He's going to be a really good run stopper early on with how strong he is, with how thick he is. He's going to be a hole clogger. Immediately, he's going to clog holes for you. He's going to mess up the run game a little. He's going to mess up the run game for some teams, and you need a guy like that on your interior of your defense, especially with the pass rushers they have with DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Parsons on their team. And then obviously they got Leighton Vander Esch, who's a solid linebacker. But Mazi Smith, like, it's an interesting picker. I think they could have got him in the second round, but they go and. You know, if your guy's there and you really like him, you go get your guy. And I don't blame him from going and getting him. I do like Mazi Smith a lot, but I would have waited till the second round, maybe traded back a little bit. Maybe one of these hungry quarterback teams were looking for Will Levis, but I think they could have traded back if they wanted to here. But he's just not a. I didn't think he was a first round. He's more of a second round guy to me, but I do like Mazi Smith a lot. I think he provides day one impact for your team as a really good run stopper. So we'll move on to number 27, and we finally get to Jacksonville after two trade downs back to back. They go and they take Anton Harrison, tackle out of Oklahoma. And this one surprised me a little bit. I thought they were going Brian Branch out of Alabama, nickel. They needed a nickel guy. But they decided to get Trevor Lawrence, a pass protector. And Anton Harrison, I think, is probably the best pass protector in this, like pure pass protector in this draft. He needs to work on his run game. He needs to gain weight. He needs to do better in the run game. But his pass protecting may be the best in this draft. And arguably, I thought he was probably the second best tackle in this draft. It just came down to the run game. And I thought Paris Johnson, like I've said, Darnell Wright, I thought was the best tackle in this draft class. And then Paris Johnson would have been my second if Darnell Wright was a left tackle. But Paris Johnson, a little bit better in the run game. But Anton Harrison, his pass pro is so good. And being able to keep Trevor Lawrence clean and is such a priority. And I love what the Jaguars did here. They go and they get Anton Harrison. I like the pick a lot. And I thought he was a first round guy for me. He's a guy that is definitely like he definitely has some room to improve, but his pass pro is just so good. His pass pro is just so good. And I like the pick here for Jacksonville. You got to keep Trevor Lawrence's jersey clean and get him as few as hits as he can each game. So I like the pick here for Jacksonville. So we'll move on here to Cincinnati, and this is another pick that kind of a little caught me off surprise a little bit, but I like it. Miles Murphy, edge rusher out of Clemson, goes to Cincinnati. And I thought they were going to go tight end here. I thought they were going to go Michael Mayer or they were going to go Darnell Washington. But instead, they go Miles Murphy. Miles Murphy, a guy that I thought was a really solid player. He's a guy that has a little bit of stiff hips. I don't think he has that bend that you'd want, but he has really good power coming off the edge and all that. And he's a guy that you like they need a pass rusher. Sam Hubbard, I love Sam Hubbard. He's such a effort guy that you want on your team. He's just not a guy that is, in my opinion, a good starting edge guy. I think he's a guy that you can rotate in and would be an outstanding rotation guy on your defensive line. But I think Miles Murphy, being able to rotate with Sam Hubbard and you have Trey Henderson on the other side, I love that combo a lot. And like I said earlier, when you're talking about the Raiders going to get Tyree Wilson playing the Chiefs, the great neutralizer to a great passing game to a great explosive offense is how good you are at rushing the passer and getting hits on the quarterback. And I love what the Bengals did here. They prioritized edge rushers, pass rushers, and getting to the quarterback here over a tight end where they could probably go and they can go get a tight end later in the draft. So I love what the Bengals did here. I love getting Miles Murphy here, and it's a really good pick. I do question his hip stiffness, but if they're able to unlock his hips and get his hips more flexible, more power to them, because if his hips get flexible, he's gonna be dangerous. He's gonna be dangerous if his hips get more flexible. So we'll move on to another Clemson guy. Clemson guy is going back to back here. Brian Brzees, defensive lineman or defensive tackle, aka interior defensive lineman out of Clemson, goes to the Saints at 29. And this is a guy that if you don't know his story, you gotta look up his story. It's very sad. His sister passed away last year. He dealt with a lot of injuries last year. And you could just tell he just didn't really get into the rhythm of the season of playing football, of getting back into that rhythm. And his play kind of hurt a little bit because of that. And you understand like what he was going through. And it was just a difficult time for him and his family going through all that stuff. And he's a guy that was the number one player in his recruiting class when he went to Clemson. And you see a lot of that potential on film. You see it in his earlier years. You see the potential on film. And I like the pick here by the Saints. Brian Brzee, he seems like a character guy. I don't know too much. I haven't looked too much into his interviews and all of that. But he's a guy that plays hard. He's a guy that has a lot of potential. It has a good has good pass rushing ability. Has a solid arsenal. Probably could definitely get a little bit more in that pass rushing arsenal, and could definitely use some better technique in the run game. But he's very athletic. He has high potential, and it's another guy that I like him going to the Saints more than I think I like the Saints drafting him here. But Brian Bresee, I think him and the Saints and him learning under Cameron Jordan and learning under some of these other guys, I like a lot. And having that veteran leadership and him being able to learn and play under those guys, I like a lot. And I think he's going to learn a lot. And he may be a guy that ends up being like a Harrison Phillips, where, doesn't really reach the level of play we expected from him until maybe his second team in the NFL. So he may be just a guy that may be just a slow, like a late bloomer almost. And if he is, he is. But he's a guy that's high potential, and here's the reason he was the number one recruit in his recruiting class. And you see the glimpses at Clemson, and you understand what he went through off the field, and he also had some of the injuries. But I like him landing with the Saints here. It's a good organization, and you have some veteran leadership that can help him and help him learn and help him get accustomed to the NFL. So I like the pick a lot, and I like the placement better for Brzees going to New Orleans. So we'll move on here to number 30, and a lot of people think this is the draft steal of the night. For me, I think it's right on par. Nolan Smith going to Philadelphia at number 30. In my draft rankings, Nolan Smith was, where is Nolan Smith at? He was my number 37 guy. So I seen him as a second round guy. He's a guy that obviously you look at the combine, you look at the numbers, absolutely outstanding combine. I think, what, a 4.3 as an edge rusher, as a linebacker. Freak athlete. Freak athlete. But when you look deeper into his game, yes, he's super quick. He uses athleticism very well, but he doesn't have that really, he doesn't have that pass rushing arsenal that you like to see as a first round pick caliber guy. Yes, he has great bend, but I think once players start to realize like he could only really do like one or two things, like bull rush and have a good bend off his speed rush or off a good get off, they would beat him. Also, you worry about the his ability to play in the run game with his weight. I think he's the same weight as Will McDonald, I want to say. So I want to say he's around like 230. Let me click on here real quick. So he's, according to NFL, yeah, he's 238. So they actually have Will McDonald heavier than, like 1 pound heavier than him. He's a guy that I think you can play off ball linebacker. But it's another scenario where I think Nolan Smith just landed in a great spot in Philadelphia. He landed in a terrific spot where he's able, if they play him at edge rusher, he's able to learn behind Brandon Graham. He's able to learn behind Hassan Reddick, a guy that's very similar to him, a super high athletic guy that has the potential to rush the passer, but also play off ball linebacker as well. I just love the fit there for Philadelphia. I love the fit there. It is a great fit for Nolan Smith, and a guy that has a lot to work on in his game. But if he reaches that potential, he's going to be such a good player. And he landed in a great spot in Philadelphia with great coaching, really good veteran leadership, and a guy that has very similar traits to him and Hassan Reddick that can teach him the ropes and can teach him how to play like he does. And be elite at it like Hassan Reddick was last year. So we'll move on to the last pick. We're finally here. The last pick of the first round of day one is the Chiefs taking Kansas State edge rusher Felix Anadike Uzomah as the player I had mocked draft or I had mocked here for Kansas City, Kansas State, Kansas City. But also, we know Kansas City loves their young defensive guys. You have George Kalafovis. I think I pronounced it right there. You have those corners, Trent McDuffie, Played really good last year. You have those really good young defensive guys on their team. Nick Bolton's another one of them. And then you obviously you have your cornerstone guy in Chris Jones as well. You have Willie Gay on there. Really solid guys. You had Felix Anduhe-Uzomah, who I think, besides Will Anderson, is maybe the most ready edge rusher, defensive lineman, most ready to play in the NFL. He's our pass rushing arsenal. He may have the arguably the best pass rushing arsenal in the draft class. He wins with rips. He wins with spins. He wins with swims. He runs with really good bend with his speed. He can win with a bull rush. He can win in a variety of different ways. And on top of that, he's a really solid run defender. He could probably do a little bit better, but he's a really good run defender. And it's just a great pickup by the Chiefs. It's a guy that's very few weaknesses. You know, you could probably tweak some stuff here and there, but and be a little bit more consistent as a player, but he's a guy that is just a great pickup for them. And I tweeted this out when he got drafted. Like it's a it, he's a great pick. It just like he's gonna have to show up in those big moments though. Chiefs are gonna be in those big moments for a long time now with Patrick Mahomes, and you need those defensive guys every now and then to step up in those big moments and make those plays. Can Felix be one of those guys that steps up, gets a crucial sack, gets a crucial pressure, maybe drops back in the zone, is able to tip a ball, stuff like that? Like. You wonder, like, when those team, when these players get drafted to though to this type of team, like New England was in the past, or maybe the Colts were during the Peyton Manning era. Like, wonder how he's going to play under the pressure. He did play at K-State. He played very well at K-State, but he's playing in a team that's on the verge of becoming a dynasty, or is arguably or is a dynasty, depending on if you want to count two titles in the NFL as a dynasty. I know three is the number for the NBA, but I know a lot of people will consider two for the NFL because it's so hard to win the Super Bowl of being a dynasty. You want like he's a guy that does come up in big plays, has come up in big plays at Kansas State. You want to see him do that at the NFL level, and sometimes dudes like sometimes guys crack under the under that type of pressure. But there's nothing on film that I've seen from him that has that ability. He's just a really good player, and he's a guy that I just think fits so perfectly in Kansas City's defense. And it's another guy that, you know, they lucked out on that. He fell to them, and I don't think a lot of people were high on him, or were high on him, but thought he would fall to the second round, and the Chiefs picked him up. It's a great pick by the Chiefs. I really love the pick here by Kansas City to wrap up the first round with Felix and Anduhe-Uzomah. And now we'll go obviously to my big surprises of who did not get drafted in the first round. Will Levis. And I'll touch on these guys a little bit because I'll get into them when I cover the second and third round. It's going to be a little bit different of a breakdown when I do day two, and then day three I'm still considering. If not, I might just do grades for each team. On Monday or Tuesday, instead of doing a day three breakdown, because there's so many picks in between there. But I'll definitely do a day two breakdown for y'all that would be up on Saturday. But and get into a little bit more of these players and maybe why they fell. But just the kind of like I guess quick notes of them. I think Will Levis, obviously we know the arm talent. We know he played on a pro style system at Kentucky. I wonder, like for me, I wonder if it's like the mentality. You know, you wonder if it is mental why teams didn't draft him. Like there's like he has the arm to make a lot of these NFL throws. He played in the SEC. He made those tight window throws. Yes, he's a little bit of a risk taker. And yes, he does have mechanical issues that you could definitely fix up. But we've seen teams take risk on bigger flaws in players than Will Levis. I wonder if it's the mentality of it. I wonder if it's the interviewing process that teams just didn't want to take him, and then he got into a spot late in the first round where teams didn't need a quarterback. So he just continued to drop out of the first round, and honestly, I think the best landing spot for him is Los Angeles. I think if he falls to the Rams need to scoop him up. The Rams need to definitely scoop him up and get him on their team because you need a quarterback of the future. He can sit 2 or 3 years under Matthew Stafford and learn under Matthew Stafford. He may pick up some of those bad tendencies in Matthew Stafford, but he's learned under behind a, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So I would love that fit for Will Levis to go to the Rams if, you know, he makes it there. At I think 37 is where they're drafting at. And another guy, Joey Porter, I think another guy that I wonder if his play against smaller, very like really good route running type of guys is the reason he fell, because he's a guy that his hips are a little bit stiff from time to time, and he gets beat by these shifty guys. I wonder if that was a little bit to deal with like why he fell, but he's a good player. I thought his instincts were great. I'm very confused on why he fell to the second round. I thought he was a first round guy. Maybe it was positional need. Not a lot of teams needed a corner at the moment, or thought they could have got a corner later. So he just fell and just continued to fall when maybe the Commanders, the Patriots liked Forbes and liked Gonzalez a little bit better than him. And then no team behind that really valued corner as much or on their positions of need as much as some of these other things. Like, I think a spot for him could have been Vikings. I think the Ravens could have drafted him. Obviously, the Lions could have got him. But I think they valued wide receiver, and obviously the Lions, I think, valued Jack Campbell a little bit more than him, and that's why he ended up going. Obviously, we had the Giants. They picked a corner. They picked Deontay Banks over him. So it's very interesting why he fell. I'm not sure why he did. Maybe it's a little bit of the hip stiffness and covering those shifty guys and man-to-man. So we'll move on to Michael Mayer, and I just think Michael Mayer dropped because of positional value. I think teams don't value tight ends in first rounds as much as they used to. And that being as much as they used to, being like 5, 6 years ago when tight ends were going in the first round. And even like 2, 3 years ago, if that when Kyle Pitts got taken. But Michael Mayer is a guy, I think, just positional value. He's a guy that's not a flashy pick either, so like he's not he fell because of that, in my opinion. I think he's not a flashy pick. He's not a huge receiving like phenomenon like Dalton Kincaid is, but he's a guy that can do it all. He's a good receiver. He's a good red zone guy. He's a good get you a first down guy, but he can also be a really good run blocker too. So I question why he fell, but he's gonna make a team very happy in the second round for sure. And then another guy, positional value, in my opinion, Brian Branch out of Alabama fell for that same reason as well. Positional value, but also I think his ability to get beat deep by really speedy guys is another issue of why he fell. But these are all four guys that I was expecting to go first round. Like Osiris Torrance is a guy that I had in the first round in my practice mock and my mock I did on the podcast, but it's a guard, and guards slip to the second round all the time, so I wasn't really surprised that he slipped to the second round. But these four guys were pretty shocking that they slipped to the second round, because I thought these guys were really first round guys here. But I'm very interested to see where they go and where they end up as well. And it should be fun to watch. The day two should be very fun. But I appreciate y'all for sticking with me on this long breakdown of day one. I know it's been 1.5 hours or almost 2 hours at this point going over this. So I appreciate y'all for sticking with it and listening. Even if y'all listen to y'all's teams or just kind of skim through it, I appreciate y'all just listening, just to listen to whatever, you know, what I was saying at your team's thing or whatever, my opinion on it. I appreciate y'all for listening to that. Make sure to like, comment, and definitely let me know how I can make this more enjoyable for y'all and make it better for y'all and all that. So I appreciate y'all a lot, just for listening. And also, I won't tweet out as much on Twitter for day two, but some of those big names and those big draft things that happen. Sorry about that. My mouth's getting a little bit dry here at the end, but some of those big guys at the, or in this end day two, I'll tweet about like once Will Levis gets drafted, once Brian Branch gets drafted, those four guys I mentioned, and obviously guys a little bit lower. And if there's a fit I really like for a guy, I'll tweet about it. But not as much tweets as for day one. Like I'm not gonna tweet about every single pick. Some picks I'll just like go and all that, but. Yeah, so I appreciate if y'all come over from Twitter and all that, and I appreciate y'all for listening. And finding on Twitter a lot, and definitely, if y'all enjoyed it, let y'all's friends know and all that. So I appreciate y'all, and I'll see y'all and talk to y'all tomorrow with the breakdown of day two of the NFL draft. So I'll see y'all later.